Thank you, David, for leading us in prayer a few moments ago. Appreciate that very good prayer you led us in, brother. Thank you, Alvin, for giving us the reading of the scriptures there from Galatians chapter 2. And thank you, Max, for leading us in that beautiful hymn, Jesus Loves Me. That hymn that we just sung, titled Jesus Loves Me, is one of the most well-known hymns that we sing. It is especially very popular amongst the young people, isn't it? It's one of the most favorite hymns that our children sing, and it's one of the first hymns that they learn to sing. And did you know that the words for this hymn were written by Anna B. Warner as she was requested by her sister to write a poem for a dying child? Did you know that? You see, Anna B. Warner wrote the words of Jesus Loves Me to bring peace and comfort to a dying child. And the words of that poem later became the hymn that we just sung, Jesus Loves Me. Without a doubt, it is a comforting hymn, isn't it? I don't know about you, but it certainly brings comfort to me to know that Jesus loves me. And the fact of the matter is, the hymn, Jesus Loves Me, it portrays a simple and direct message that we all are in need of hearing and being reminded of. We all need to know that Jesus loves me. We all need to be reminded of the fact that Jesus loves us. So with this hymn in mind, let's take just a few moments this afternoon to go to the scriptures and let's take a look at some passages that denotes the fact that Jesus loves me. And let's begin there in John chapter 13. There in John chapter 13 and in verse number 34, Jesus, speaking to his chosen disciples, spoke these words. He said to them, "A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another as I have loved you, that you also love one another." Did you notice those words of Jesus to his chosen disciples? Did you notice he says that a commandment that I give to you is that you love one another as I have loved you? Here Jesus is expressing the fact to his disciples that he has had love for them. He's expressing to them the fact that he loves them and that he has shown them love. And he's instructing them to likewise do the same to one another, just as he has loved them. Think about those words of Jesus for a moment. You see, Jesus certainly expressed acts of love toward his disciples, didn't he? He expressed tremendous acts of love towards his disciples. And his love for them was strong. It was deep. It was sincere. And not only did Jesus express tremendous love towards his disciples, but he also gave them an example in which to follow, didn't he? And here he is instructing them to love one another as he has loved them. And we need to be mindful of that. You see, just as Jesus loved his chosen disciples, he likewise has loved us. Just as he expressed acts of love towards his chosen disciples, he's likewise expressed tremendous acts of love towards us. And he did that in giving his life for us. But not only did Jesus instruct his chosen disciples to love one another as he has loved them, but he also said to them, as we go on to see there in John the 15th chapter, he said to them, "As the Father loved me, I also have loved you. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love." Again, Jesus is expressing the fact that he has loved his disciples. He's making it very clear to them that he has possessed love for them. And not only does he make that clear here in John 15 and in verse 9, but he also makes it clear that the Father has loved him. And he says, "As the Father loved me, I also have loved you." And he instructs them to keep his commandments. For by doing so, he says, "You will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in His love. Simply put, Jesus wants His people to be a people who abide in Him. And we learn here how that is possible. We learn how we abide in the love of Jesus here in John 15, 9 and 10. And that is by keeping His commandments. When we keep His commandments, when we do what He says, we will abide in His love. Just as He says He has kept the Father's commandments and abide in His love. When I think about that, I'm mindful of what Jesus said there in John chapter 14 and verse number 15. Remember what Jesus said there? He said, if you love me, you will what? Keep my commandments. Think about that. Jesus says, if you love me, you will keep my commandments. And we need to be mindful of that. And we need to abide in His love. Just as He loves, has abided in His Father's love and abide in Him by keeping His commandments. But Jesus also goes on to say there, fast forwarding there to verse number 12 of John 15. He said, this is my commandment. What is that? That you love one another as I have loved you. Again, three times here in John 13 and John 15, Jesus is expressing the fact that He has loved His disciples. And He expresses to them the need for them not only to keep His commandments, but also the need for them to love one another as He has loved them. Again, Jesus commands His followers to love one another. And when you think about the love that Jesus had and that he possessed, that deep, tender, unchanging, sincere love, we likewise need to strive to possess that same type of love toward one another. But we go on to see there in Romans, the 8th chapter. And there in Romans chapter 8, turn with me if you will in your Bibles there to Romans chapter 8. Notice here in Romans 8 this question that the Apostle Paul asked. And here the Apostle Paul asked in Romans chapter 8 and in verse number 35. He asked, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Stop there for a moment. Have you ever thought about that question before? You see, here Paul is informing us of the fact that not only does Christ love us, but He's also informing us that nothing can separate us from that love of Christ. And here he asks that question, what or who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Now notice this with me, because he goes on to give some examples here. He said, shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? You think about those seven examples there. Tribulation, distress, persecution, famine, nakedness, peril, sword. You think about those things. Those could be pretty catastrophic, couldn't they? Some of those things that were mentioned there. But Paul asked, he says, shall even these things separate us from the love of Christ? And notice as he goes on to say there in verse 36, he says, as it is written, for your sake we are killed all day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Yet, verse 37, yet in all these things we are more than conquerors. How are we more than conquerors, Paul? Now watch it. Through Him, that being Jesus the Christ, who loved us. You see that? Paul goes on to say in verse 38, for I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Take comfort in those words of the inspired apostle, brethren. Recognize the fact not only does Jesus love us, but also that there is nothing, and I repeat, there is nothing that can separate us from the love of Christ. Remember that. Especially when you go through the trials of life. When you go through tribulation, persecution. And the trials of this life. Always remember these encouraging words of the inspired Apostle Paul. The fact that we are more than conquerors through Him who loved us. But Paul also informed in regard to the love of Christ. As Alvin read for us a few moments ago there from Galatians chapter 2 and verse 20. Paul says, I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave Himself for me. I want you to think about those words of the Apostle with me for a moment. I want you to notice here with me how the Apostle Paul, in reference to the love of Christ, made it personal. Did you catch that? Did you catch here in this verse how Paul made the love of Christ personal? How he took that personal? You see there, as he says, I've been crucified with Christ. It's no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. He says, the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me, Paul says, and gave Himself for me, Paul says. Think about that. You see, each and every one of us needs to take that personal just as Paul took it personal, don't we? Just as Paul took the love of Christ personal, we too, as Christians, need to take the love of Christ personal. You see, the Son of God not only loved the Apostle Paul and died for him, but He also loved you and me and died for you and me. And just as Paul takes this personal, just as he personalizes the love and sacrifice of Jesus the Christ, we too need to personalize the love and the sacrifice of our Lord and Savior, Jesus the Christ. And I want you to think about something. I want you to think about how Paul also expressed his conviction of obligation to live entirely for Christ. To live entirely for the one who died for him. How about you? How you doing with that? Knowing that Christ loved you and died for you, are you just as convicted as the Apostle Paul, and are you just as obligated as the Apostle Paul to live for Christ? To live for the one who gave Himself for you? Are you? If not, why not? We need to be, don't we? Because as we learned here in Galatians chapter 2 and verse 20, when we have been crucified with Christ, it is no longer Christ who is no longer us who live, but is Christ who lives in us. And the life which we now live in the flesh, we should live, just as the Apostle Paul said, by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave Himself for me. But we go on to see in Ephesians chapter 5 and verse number 2, where the Apostle Paul instructs Christians to walk in love, as Christ also has loved us and giving Himself for us. Again, Paul is expressing the fact that Christ loved us so much that He willingly gave Himself for us. He's talking about, again, the love and the sacrifice of Jesus the Christ here. And here he's instructing Christians to walk in love. And by the way, that word walk there simply is in reference to a pattern of one's life. It signifies the whole area of life. And we need to again live our lives in a manner that is patterned as Christ. And we need to walk in love just as Christ has loved us and given Himself for us. When you think about the context and you think about the instruction for Christians to walk in love as Christ has loved us and given himself for us, you think about how love and true love, how it's sacrificial. And you think about sacrificial love and how it's the love that sacrifices self in the best interest of others. That's exactly what Jesus did for you and I. Jesus gave himself for you and I. Why? So that we may benefit from that. So that we may have that hope of eternal life in heaven. And it's this kind of love that Jesus exhibited on the cross for us when he gave himself for us. And we need to be mindful of what John said there in 1 John chapter 3 and verse number 16. And there John wrote, "By this we know love." How is that, John? "Because he," that being Jesus the Christ, "laid down his love for us." Have you ever thought about those words of John before? I mean, have you really ever contemplated exactly what John's saying here? Think about that. You see, what John is telling us is, he's telling us that true love is to be measured by the example of Jesus Christ, who laid down his life for us. You see, love itself, its real nature, its power, it was seen in its highest form when God the Father gave his only begotten Son, Jesus the Christ, to come to this earth to die on that cross for us. That's love in its highest form. And that's exactly what John's saying here in 1 John 3:16 when he says, "By this we know love, because he," that being Jesus Christ, "laid down his life for us." Once more, Jesus loves me. This I know, for the Bible tells me so. Therefore, know that Jesus loves you and hold on to these words of Jesus as we read there from John chapter 14, verse number 21. And there Jesus says, "He who has my commandments and keeps them, it is he who loves me. And he who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I will love him and manifest myself to him." I now ask the question, do you love Jesus? Do you? If you do, as Jesus said in John chapter 14 and verse 15, you will keep his commandments. And maybe there's one here tonight who has not yet submitted themselves in obedience to the Lord and his will. You have an opportunity to do that this very hour, for you have heard the word of God. And if you, like the Ethiopian eunuch of old, believe with all your heart that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, you can make a change in your life. You can repent of your sins. You can turn from sin and you can turn to God. And you can confess Jesus Christ as the Son of God. And you can be baptized into Christ this very hour for the remission of your sins. And you too can have that hope of eternal life which God, who cannot lie, promised before time began. Titus chapter 1 and verse number 2. And may we all always remember that the buck doesn't stop at baptism, but rather we need to continue to remain faithful unto death. For as Jesus promised in the latter part of Revelation chapter 2 and verse number 10, "Be thou faithful unto death, and I will give thee a crown of life." Maybe there's one here this afternoon who has already submitted themselves in obedience to the Lord and his will, but maybe you've got sin in your life. Maybe you haven't been faithful. Maybe you've strayed from that straight and narrow path that leads to life. You're encouraged to confess your sins to God and to repent of them and to ask him for his forgiveness, remembering what John said in 1 John chapter 1 and verse 9. If we confess our sins, God is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Maybe there's one here this afternoon who would like to enlist the prayers of the saints on their behalf. We'd be more than willing to pray with you or for you. So if there would be one here this afternoon who would be subject to the Lord's gracious invitation, whatever your need may be, won't you let that need be known now while making your way toward the front while we stand and sing the song, Maxis Selected.